Blog Talk Radio.
We are your hosts, Doug and Jackie Christie, and we want to invite you to join us in this conversation that we will be having today by calling in our lines at 347-215-8305, or at any time you can join us in our chat room throughout our entire show.
Yes, yes, and today we are discussing the seven wonders of the world. And what they are, starting with number one, the Empire State Building. Honey, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I thought that I was number one on that list.
You are, babe.
Okay. Well, the Empire State Building is a magnificent landmark, and that would be in New York City for those of you who don't know, but everyone has been blessed to see the Empire State Building in the New York skyline for oh so many years. The construction of the New York Empire State Building began in March of 1930. Now, baby, this is going to blow your mind because
okay. You
know how big the Empire State Building is. It began construction in March of 1930, and they finished it in 14 months. That's faster than it took to build some houses these days.
Now, that is definitely amazing. My goodness. And for it to be that tall and that big, I had no idea. And I'm going to talk a little bit. My husband's going to give you guys the history because he's the history buff, you know, the smart one of the group. And I'm the person that's going to tell you how it's linked to love and romance. Well, I don't know if you guys have ever been there, but it is a beautiful place. And that it has so many, like, stairs going up to the top where you can get to the observation deck. And I say it's linked because that's how I look at relationships. And me and my husband is on the observation deck of our marriage now. And it's wonderful. But the climb up has been magnificent. And I look at the Empire State Building in that way. And in your relationship, whether it be marriage, just, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend, fiancé, whatever it is, best friends, always try to look at it that way, as it's a climb. You're not going to reach the top and be on the observation deck unless you do the work, and that's going up to the top. So that's how that one, I'd say, is personally linked.
Well, you know, babe, speaking of how tall it is in the observation deck, it is 1,472 feet from the street level to the top of the antenna, which is crazy. But to the observation deck, it is 1,250. 50 feet, which is just outrageous. And if you're looking at the base of the whole area, which it sits on, you're looking about at 2 acres, I would have to say. And just for those of you who want to know, it took 7 million man hours. And you know, 1 year and 45 days, baby, they didn't stop one day. They worked holidays, they worked weekends, they worked everything nonstop until that building was built.
And you guys see what I mean by he's the buff that knows all these statistics and stuff?
Here.
You see what I mean? You got to love him. But I tell you what, now, since he said that, they worked nonstop every day. You know, 365 days in that year. That's how you have to do with your relationship. And I'm going to show you how the Seven Wonders also is linked to love and romance, as we said in the title of this show. Now I'll let the smart professor go on.
No, don't even try that. But listen to this, babe.
When
we were with the Knicks, the trainer there, he always wanted me to go because once a year they have this race. And you race to the top, so you run up all the stairs from the bottom level. You just boop, 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 all the way to the top.
Yes.
And I never got a chance to do it, but it's something that before we're out of here, I got to do. You start at the bottom and you make it all the way to the top, whether you run, whether you walk, however you do it, but you make it to the top, which would be a fantastic thing to say that you accomplished, because that has to be a tremendous amount of stairs.
Now, that is an accomplishment, but I tell you what, something brought melancholy to me, you guys, and you know, got my eyes kind of watering. My husband said, before we're out of here, and in case you didn't catch what he means before we leave this earth, and it's so sad because he's my best friend, and I want to be on this earth forever with him and our kids and my mom and, you know, our family and friends and, of course, all of you, and it's just sad when he puts it, when someone puts it that way, because it puts it right in your face and makes you realize that you're only here for a period of time. We're on borrowed time, everybody. And, you know, that kind of shows, again, how love and romance and life is love, is linked to the seven wonders, because we're only here temporarily, and that should be there for a long time. But it's obviously going to go one day, too, when this world ends.
No question, baby. And, you know, looking at these seven wonders, it's kind of crazy that New York has two. So since we gave so much love to the Empire State Building, we're just going to pass over the next one, and that's the Statue of Liberty. Which
Statue of Liberty is me.
It's an awesome site. And one reason that I love it is because it has that green tint to it, mm-hmm. and that happens to be my favorite color. But the Statue of Liberty was a gift to the United States. So that is something that I believe it was France. Don't quote me, everybody, but I believe it was France that gave us that as a gift of goodwill, if you will.
Now that is a great gift of goodwill, because she's not only beautiful, she's something we can be proud of, and holding her hand up to the sky with that torch is just obviously just one of the best seven wonders that we have.
No question. That is, and speaking of romance on that whole side of things, is that is something that is very romantic. You can, I believe it's a ferry. You take the ferry over. We haven't been there yet, but it's something that we want to do, is visit every one of these wonders. And the Statue of Liberty is one of them. I believe you could take your basket, have some lunch, relax, check out New York Harbor, and watch all the ferries and boats go by, and at the same time visit the Statue of Liberty and get a little history lesson.
And I would definitely have to second that, and I would have to also add that women, you know, ladies out there, I see our lines is really busy. We are beautiful specimens, so are men, but we are the queen, and she represents all of us women as she stands so strong and so tall. So feel proud and feel loved. Again, there's how love and romance is linked. Because of the Statue of Liberty, we can see her and see love in that. And then we move right along to the Great Wall of China. Now, that's something, honey, we missed when the Sacramento Kings went on that trip. And my husband says, man, because we were supposed to go. We had passports in hand with the team. We were ready to go. They were taking the families, by the way, which was very uncommon with a lot of teams. But the Kings, we love them, and we will always love them. They were inviting all the wives to go, and a lot of them went. Doug was injured at the time, and he had to get surgery, so we didn't get to go. But the Great Wall of China looks to be a beautiful and loving and romantic place to go. So any of you that's been lucky enough to go, please call in and share with us some of your love and romance you shared at the Great Wall of China.
Now, the Great Wall of China is such an intimidating visual. It is just incredible, because from my understanding, there are certain things that you can see from outer space. And this is the only one, yes, this is the only one that's man-made that you can see from outer space, is the Great Wall of China. You can also see the Great Barrier Reef, which is in Australia, from outer
space. Okay, you guys, should we end this now? Because we can't keep up with this professor on this
line. Get out of here. These are just some things that I heard in the locker room when I was...
Oh, they talk about... You guys hear that? You hear that? No, seriously. Honey, you can see the Great Wall of China from outer space?
Well, obviously, we haven't been to outer space, but that's my understanding, is that you can see it from outer space, because it is so long and it is so wide. And the crazy thing, that it was built by hand, because those are stones that are stacked, and you can walk on it. And I was mad at my Grandma Crystal, and if you're listening, Grandma Crystal, I am mad at you, because you got to go there and you got to visit it, and my wife and I didn't, so we're not going to hold it against you, though. But that's one that we definitely have to go see, because it is so impressive as just, you know, something that was built by hand, which all of these wonders were, of course, yes.
Wow, and I see that's something else I learned, everybody. I'm not trying to pretend that I am highly, highly versed on this subject, but I did not know they were all built by hand, so they have something in common, again, with love and romance. A relationship, the strength of a relationship is built by hand, meaning you have to put the time and the effort and the attitude and the goodwill and the love and the heartfelt respect for your mate into your relationship. So there again, it shows you how that wall was built, one brick at a time, I'm sure. Isn't that brick, babe? And
yes,
that's how our relationship is built. See how we can intertwine the two? There's so much alike. It's like, do you see how great and how strong and how long that wall is? that's the way a relationship is and how it is built.
No question. I mean, if you want something to stand the test of time, you're going to have to dig. You're going to have to get down in it. And these are the type of things that, as we've seen throughout the years, have stood the test of time. They've been able to be refurbished at times. And mm-hmm. sometimes you have to do that. But more than anything, it's a labor of love.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how you get something so great. And everybody's relationship can be just that if you give it that time and that precious care that it deserves.
And I would have to say that I think that I look at our relationship, honey, I'm just sharing this with you, and everyone that's listening can hear this secret. I want to just tell you that I view our relationship as part Empire State Building, 50% Statue of Liberty, 50% Great Wall of China, and then the next one, I definitely have to say, tops it off, and that would be the pyramid.
Ooh, you're talking about the pyramids at Giza. Now, this is amazing. Out of all of the wonders of the world,
that's right.
This is definitely, I would have to say, probably my favorite. Because you
that's
look
right.
at the pyramids and you just think, how were people able to do this with the type of tools that they had then, which were fantastic, but, you know, today a lot of things are a lot more precise and the tools are able to be used, but they're constantly finding new tombs in them. And from my understanding, there is a hole, baby, that goes from the outside of the pyramid all the way to the inside of the pyramid, which is, I mean, you can imagine how thick. Some of these blocks are as big as our house or a house. And some of the rock that is used, you can't find it in that immediate area. So it was gathered from other parts of Africa and brought up the Nile River after they chiseled it out. And then, well, they didn't have, you know, tires and wheels. They did have wheels because they rode
modern
on chariots, but not
okay.
modern. So what they had to do is they had to take trees, say 15, 20 trees. They had to de-leaf them, lay them on the ground, and one by one they would put the big rock, which when I'm saying it's a rock, this is a humongous piece. We're talking,
oh my God, a complete big mammoth size rock.
Exactly.
Oh,
and they would roll it. As soon as it got to the end, they would take the log, put it in the front, boom, and they would just keep rolling. Then they had to take rope, which they made, not rope like today. These are handmade ropes, and they had to put all
wow.
of those into place and with the precision. And the pyramids have been looted, and that's what a lot of people don't know. To see the pyramids in their heyday, they had gold and emerald and all over them. They were covered, so they were shining and gleaming in the sun. And now, you know, all of the gold and everything has been looted by people, so they don't look as impressive. Obviously, they are still
well,
impressive.
Well, guess what? I got to stop you right
mm-hmm.
there. I have something special for you, and everyone, this is exclusive. I have it for you. And just listening to you speak so intelligently about these great wonders of the world, I want to share with you that I have an emotional poem that I want to give you that I just thought of in my head, and it is, roses are red, violets are blue, I would go to the pyramids of Giza anytime with you.
Ooh, that's hot. I'm going to keep you to that one right there because this is something that I have to see, so no question about it. Everybody, you heard it right here, and after we go, we're going to come back and tell everybody about it, and if we don't go, I'm going to tell everybody about it. Believe that. No question.
Oh.
But the pyramids of Giza, baby, are my favorite out of all the wonders of the world, no question. Impressive, impressive. Built by the pharaohs of Egypt, that it's crazy to believe that men and women could put something together the way that these were put together, and they still are standing the test of time.
And did you hear my husband and I? As you can see, love is definitely linked to the pyramids of Giza, because guess what? It gave me the emotional and romantic inkling to tell my husband a poem that I thought of. When thinking of that, you look at the pyramids, and as the old saying goes, together we stand, and divided we fall.
Ooh.
As they stand together. So that's how you have to keep your relationship and your family and your friends and everyone close to you in your personal circle. Keep it together, because together you'll stand, and divided you'll fall. And moving right along, we'll go right into the next one, and that would be the Eiffel Tower.
Ooh, now you're talking love and romance. This
what?
Is, man, this is all romance right here. And we're talking the Eiffel Tower, which is in Paris, and it is the tallest building in Paris. And listen to this number right here, which is crazy, baby. 200 million people have visited the tower since 1889 when it was built. Can you believe that? 200 million.
Do you know how many people that is? That means it is of high interest, it's very popular, and we have to go because I haven't seen it, so I'd love to go. Now, where is this located? In this country or in another country?
Paris, France.
Paris, okay. That tells you where in the next 5 years.
Oui, mon chéri.
Okay, see? Now let's talk about love and romance and how it's linked to the Eiffel Tower. Just that quick, my husband was able to speak something beautiful to me, and I just look and I go, my God, he's so romantic. See what I mean? So the fact that he can say it's the most romantic place shows you that love is in all the seven wonders of the world.
No question, baby. I mean, this right here is the epitome of romance. Obviously, Paris is notorious for its romantic feel, the food, the vibe, the wee-wee, and all that. But this is a place that you have to go. You have to have lunch out in the courtyard and really take the Eiffel Tower in for everything that it is.
But can I ask you, honey, is it true that in Paris, France, and they said Italy, all the wives that's from those places told me, you have to get dressed up to just go and have lunch. You cannot throw on sweats and a T-shirt like I like to do, the comfy look, over there. Because European people will look at you like, oh, my goodness, where did you come from? So is it true, do you think? Because you've been there.
Yes, it is. You'll see people at their, well, they don't have Starbucks because they're drinking espressos at the local coffee shop.
Oh,
but
wee-wee.
With your pinky out. So, yes, you want to get dressed up. They're not really I mean, obviously, you can be yourself and do whatever you want, but I would say the majority of people over there are putting on something nice, and they are going out, and they are having lunch and relaxing, walking, reading, doing those sort of things.
So they enjoy getting up, putting on some clothes, like in the olden days when all the people would dress up fancy in the towns and stuff, like in the old movies we watch. See how romantic that is, and special, and the lady's a lady and treated like a lady, and the men are the strong men, and they, you know, have their role. And nowadays it's like 50-50, and I'm not that person. I want to be the lady, so I'm the damsel in distress, and my husband rescues me.
Oh, good God, fairy tale, I am feeling you. But you know how you can look at the Eiffel Tower and love and romance?
Mm-hmm.
Is that until 1930, when New York City's Chrysler Building was built, this was the tallest building in the world.
You're
and now it, no, it is now the fifth tallest structure, but it still has all the love and everything, so it doesn't matter if you're not the biggest or the strongest, you can still have love and romance.
That's
believe
right,
that.
And my husband's saying that to say that it is linked to love and romance as well. Don't matter who you are, what you do, you are special in your own right. And wow, we got callers calling in, but they have to call the show to get in. Yes, and moving right along, we'll go right on into Leaning Tower of Pisa. Now, this I'm interested to hear about, baby.
Well, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, now this is an impressive, impressive building. And in 1173, due to poorly laid foundation, now right into love and romance there, because you got to have a good foundation if you want everything to work solidly. But it started to lean. And it was three stages. It took about 177 years. So we're looking at when it started in 1173. It was done in about 1350 or something like that. And obviously after it started leaning, the engineers and everybody were a bit worried about, well, it's leaning. Is it going to tip over? Well, no, it's not going to tip over. And in the effort to compensate for the tilt, the engineers built higher floors with one side taller than the other. And this made the tower begin to lead in the other direction. And because of this, so you got the tower leaning one way, they build floors that try to compensate, and all of a sudden now the Leaning Tower of Pisa turns into what I guess it would be called today is the curved Tower of Pisa, because it definitely is curved. But this is an impressive, impressive building, something that we're going to have to see. And for those of you that maybe some people have never seen it, but it is actually leaning, and it is something else. And to compensate it, like I said, babe, they tried to build floors that were a little bit different. So what started happening is the tower started to curve. So now I'm not looking at it so much as a leaning tower as I am as the curved Tower of Pisa.
The curved, okay. Well, guess what? Is it just a beautiful name, or is it really just that romantic? The Leaning Towers of Pisa.
The Leaning Towers of Pisa. I mean, that is something, like I said, I want to see them all, but that's something that you have to see, because a building that is that big, and it is 183 feet from the ground to the lowest side, and 186 to the highest side. So there's a 3-foot difference when you get up there to the top, which is substantial if you are 183 feet off the ground. You don't want to be playing around, because I'm going to stand on the side that's holding up. That 186, I'm going to be over there. But if you want to go to the 183, be my guest.
Yeah, I can feel that one, honey. And then we move right along, and we go right into the Taj Mahal, my dream place to go to. You want to tell them a little bit about that?
Yeah, the Taj Mahal. Now, the Taj Mahal is actually a mausoleum, which is located in Agra, India. And listen to this, babe.
Mm-hmm.
This was built by an emperor, and he built it in the memory of his favorite wife. Not his only wife. He built it in memory of his favorite wife, Mumtaz Mahal. That was the name. And the nickname of it is, they call it the Taj. And a lot of elements that went into it, they love Persian style, Turkish style, Indian style, and Islamic architecture styles. They used a lot of different styles to create this beautiful masterpiece. And for those who have seen it, it is white domed, and the dome is made of marble. And inside, there is a lot of marble and a lot of gold. And the building was, it's hard to call the Taj Mahal a building, to be honest with you. Let's call it a structure or something more dynamic than just a building. But it was completed in 1684.
So it's that old?
Excuse me, 1648.
Is that old, though? Thinking that it was, like, you know, more modern, more like 1875.
No.
So it's a long time.
Yeah, it was completed in 1684. But what happens with a lot of those buildings like that is they take such great care of them. They refurbish certain areas,
right,
because you have so many visitors that come to see them. But this is truly something to see, because the dome, and then it has smaller domes that are on each side of it, is just beautiful. And to look at something that big and to know that it's made out of marble is just incredible.
Well, we just got a question. They want to know, why is that a wonder? Why do you think that's a wonder, honey?
Well, to build something that long ago, and for it to stand the test of time that it has, and to watch buildings and different things that have been created in the present day, and nothing really, to be honest to you, to come to even touching that is definitely, definitely a wonder of the world, no question.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, guess what, everybody? You got to share with us on all the wonders, the 7 wonders of the world.
We forgot one.
How love and romance is linked.
The 8th wonder of the world.
Oh, wait a minute. We got a surprise, you guys.
The 8th wonder of the world, everybody out there, is your personal relationship. That's what it is. You can make it a wonder if you want to.
You hear that, you guys? You heard it live coming from Doug Christie right here on our radio show. And you know what? Really, seriously, honey, tell them what the 8th wonder is. You know what that is?
Yeah, the 8th wonder is me.
Oh, see?
No,
here we go. No, we'll move right along, and we're going into Hot Topics right now, and we'll cover them rather quickly, because we enjoy talking to you so much about the 7 wonders that we got a little behind. So we'll move right into Winehouse. You know who Winehouse is, Amy?
Are you talking about...
His name, Amy?
Amy Winehouse. Yes, you told me about that.
Yes, she was filmed actually engaging in drug use again, and the reason that's important, because, I mean, she's a grown woman, she can make her own decisions, but she had said that she had stopped using it. So the media seems to be really out attacking her. Her music, if anyone's listened to it, is fantastic. And it's
I have to hear some of this music, did you tell me?
You,
my wife has told me, everybody, about Amy Winehouse and this music, and she says that it is fantastic.
It is.
I haven't heard it, but she showed me a picture, and I couldn't believe that that music is coming out of that.
And, you know, you would never think that someone saying, they want me to go to rehab, and I said, no, 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 would be hot. But the
that's a song?
That's the song. But that's the words in the song and the verse in the song. But it's defiant, but at the same time, it has like a real cool groove to it that you would love. And I'm going to get it for him. And you know what? In fact, we're going to upload it to this show. And next week, everybody, make sure you listen because you're going to hear it. And we're going to faintly play. Like,
I
got to
hear this.
So you can hear it. But no, we wish her the best. Amy Winehouse is a cool actress, singer. And she actually won some awards. She won some Grammys this year and everything. So hopefully she can get her thing together because that's very difficult to accomplish. And I wish her the best. And then we'll move right on into a new video of a soul singer smoking what appears to be us. We won't talk about who that is. You have to tune in next week to find out. We're going to have a mystery one on that one. See if you know who that is.
Ooh, I don't know. No, I have no idea, but I'll be tuning in next week also, everybody. So I'll find out with everybody out there in listening land.
Secrets. And then the next hot topic is Tracy Edmonds. That was Babyface's wife. They have gotten a divorce since, and she is the president and COO of Our Story production. She has just gotten offered to do about 4 movies. So it's really great that she's doing that. She's one of the only African-American women that can green light a film in Hollywood. So that's awesome, honey.
That is incredible. Hats off. I mean, hey, if you can do it, that means I can do it and everybody out there can do it. You just got to put in the hard work, no question about it.
Oh, no question at all. And then we'll move right into Dallas. After spending nearly 23 years in prison for rape that he did not commit, a man named Thomas Clifford McGowan, he heard the words that set him free. They told him to let him go because of DNA testing. He found out that they found out he was not the person that committed the rape 23 years ago. So I have a question for you, honey. Do you think that they compensate these people after they've locked them up for their whole life pretty much?
Well, I truly think that you should be compensated. I mean, 23 years. I'm just happy that Clifford was able to be proven innocent because, you know, the saying everybody in jail says they're innocent, but this guy was really innocent. And, I mean, how do you compensate somebody 23 years of your life? So I don't know when he got put in. I'm not sure. But 23 years later, he looks to probably be 40, 50 years old. I mean,
Well, I know. That's the way I feel. But I think he had a wife and he had a family that stood behind him for 3 years. He might have gotten a wife since CNN because a lot of times they just have time to develop how to really speak to a woman when they've been in prison, and so they can get these women to marry him. I don't know how long they've been married, but the good thing is he has a family that stood behind him, and they helped him fight this, and now he's free, but I'm mad now.
I mean,
it's taken 23 years of my life.
No question, but I think even more than that, I see that he quoted, "I believe you can walk out of here a free man." He can't believe that he's free, and I think probably being free now, in a little bit of time, he's going to look at it and say, you know, I'm a little bit angry maybe, but I think that probably more being free is probably the, I'm just happy to be free and be alive right at this point, but compensation is definitely due. I don't know how you compensate somebody like that, but definitely someone needs to compensate
that.
Well,
we wish him the best, and guess what? I think that you're going to hear something in about 2 seconds. Here
oh, yeah.
Is.
That's what I'm talking about.
Basketball is my favorite sport.
Oh, basketball is definitely my favorite sport. And at this particular time of the year, we're talking NBA playoffs, and basketball is at the epitome of everything that you want to do as far as sports. And we're going to bring in the one, the only, Wizzle to talk a little basketball, NBA playoffs. We're going to cover everybody out there in the land. And we just want to know, Wizzle, man, what is happening with the NBA playoffs these days? And you know what? Wherever you want to start, Wizzle, East Coast, West Coast, just jump on in.
Well, let's start. First of all, let's start West Coast. I know everybody got the tube turned on. Wow, can you see what's happening to Denver? Is Coach Carl's job in a desperate state right now. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're watching what's going down. Are the Lakers, have they put together another dynasty type of team? There's a lot of things going down right now. The upsets, the games that's going on. Hey, check out later on what's going on this evening. The Lakers right now, it looks like the hottest thing going down.
Now, L.A., they're in Denver. They impressively, obviously, in the playoffs, Wizzle. You're supposed to keep your home court. Okay, that's great. L.A. wins two at home. Now, when you go on the road, if you can't hold serve, then all of a sudden that's when the game really starts. But L.A. beating Denver in Denver, going up 3-0, I mean, is it written in stone?
I think that it's pretty much written, and I don't know if that's as big of a change as San Antonio going against Phoenix and really putting a whopping on Shaquille O'Neal and company. So there's a lot of big things happening right now.
Well, San Antonio and Phoenix, you know, I spoke 2 days ago. I was on ESPN Radio, and I spoke, and that was one of the questions that they asked me. Was they said, do you think that Phoenix can go back home, get a little home cooking, and turn the series around against San Antonio? And honestly, I said, yes, I do, because they are such a good home team. But this goes to show everybody out there in basketball land that you can't sleep on a champion and you can't sleep on veteran players, because it looks like San Antonio has taken their time, has waited to the postseason, went through the regular season, did okay, but now they're turning it on.
And there's a lot of big things going down. Hey, you can go to the first upset that Utah's had in quite some time when Houston stepped into their gymnasium the first time. Again, that's telling you about the parity that's in the West Coast, and this West Coast Conference is deadly. I mean, there's a lot of good basketball going on right now. And I'm a West Coast biased, and hey, that's where it's happening right now for me.
Now tell me this, Wizzle, do you really think, because I was talking to my wife about this, and she said, Houston's going to come back, and I said, there's no way, because Utah had the best home record, and I was looking at it, and I just really didn't think that they were going to be able to pull it off. But do you think Houston gets back in this series and wins game four?
You know what, I got to give them a shot at it, because at this point, I think that any expert can realistically look at all of what's going down and come to the conclusion that all the numbers that get thrown out the door, because it's got to happen right now. Whatever's happening right now is the hottest thing that's going down. And with these teams, when they step into this gym, all the records and all that go up out the door. Now, if you look at all of that, you would think that New Orleans would have the greatest chance or greatest opportunity at getting an upset, as opposed to any of the other teams, the way that they've been handling Dallas. But all of a sudden, hey, Dallas shows up, and then they pull up this record that, hey, you guys haven't won here since 96 or 98, and it's some weird thing, and weird things happen. So I don't know what's happening. It's like something you can't get a grip of, and this is why you must stay tuned with the games and what's happening.
Now, do you think New Orleans, I mean, obviously they have an MVP candidate in Chris Paul. You got a great Coach of the Year candidate who gets my vote in Byron Scott. You have a sharpshooter in Peja Stojakovic, and you have a lot of other elements that allow you to have the second-best record in the Western Conference. Do you think that they can go? Because this is where a young team really starts to set themselves apart and grow up, if they can win a game on the road in a place like Dallas, which Dallas isn't the hardest place in the world to win a game, I might add. Do you think that they can pull it off, New Orleans?
And I agree with you completely, because first and foremost, this is about growth. And, hey, the games that we've watched when they competed against Dallas and they were in their home court, they had that advantage. They won both of those games without any contest. Now, the fortitude of the team will be tested this coming game, this coming contest, because you guys just lost one. What can you do? You got to get a win here. That's the bottom line. You got to get a win in Dallas to go through it. So that's the kind of thing we're looking at. And I think they got an opportunity, but again, the numbers that go out the door. I mean, you guys got to go in there and step in there and do it. And I mean, it looks like Chris Paul was frustrated. It looked like Dallas stepped their playoff, their playoff play as far as competing against defense, loose balls, every aspect. Avery Johnson did a better job as far as maneuvering personnel, putting Jason Terry on Chris Paul for a change and letting maybe somebody of the same type of stature play defense and compete against this player and someone who can score at that moment, too. So there's a lot of things going down, and they do have an opportunity, but Dallas looks really, really good at home, and I'm sure their team and their fans know that New Orleans is no joke.
Now, Will, I mean, Charlotte, New Orleans, that is an honest mistake right there because the teams jumped around so much. But jumping to the Eastern Conference, we got Boston and we got Atlanta. Now, are you giving Atlanta any type of hope, Will? Tell me.
I got to give Atlanta a shot because you know what? Initially, I didn't give Philly a shot, not to keep jumping around this league, because there's so many weird things that are going down that are out of character. And again, you get reminded that the playoffs is a game, and it's a chess match, and this is based upon matchups. And I would never guess that Philly would be up 2-1 to, you know, based upon Detroit and who they are and with their experience and all the things that are supposedly supposed to be in their favor. So with that, I'm going to say that Atlanta has a chance to get a win tonight. And, I mean, why not?
Okay. Now, speaking of Detroit and Philly, I mean, now, you called this early. You obviously didn't say that it would be up 2-1, but you said Detroit kind of goes into games sometimes, and they know that they're a good ball club, and all of a sudden, either it's they're overestimating, underestimating, they're not looking at their opponent right, they don't show up on a night, and all of a sudden, bam, they lose the game. Well, now they've lost 2, they're down 2-1, they are in Philly in a must-win situation. What do you think happens in game 4 with Detroit-Philadelphia?
This is a huge game, and again, all the numbers and everything goes out of the door. Whatever you have preconceived about Detroit and their know-how, their experience, all those type of factors that you should realistically factor in are thrown out of the window, because the facts are is that you probably are looking at one of the most conceited teams of all times. I'm talking about Chauncey Billups. Talking about, we, even if we lose tonight, we know that we're a better team. We got the best 5 players in the NBA top to bottom, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you should win, and you haven't put on enough jewelry to believe that yourself. So there's a lot of things that's going down. I mean, it's huge. It's huge. And Philly's got a good chance. Atlanta's got a good chance. And because a lot of teams seem to be resting on their laurels as opposed to putting the effort out there and going and do what they're supposed to do. It's grind time, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead and get your money and put your money where your mouth is. Get out there on the court and compete. And I don't see a lot of that from the more experienced teams right now. It's interesting.
Yes, it is. I think that this is a change of the guard in the NBA, and some of these young players and young teams are stepping forward, and that leads me right into our next matchup, and that's Orlando and Toronto. And Dwight Howard, I mean, talk to me about this. What do you think are Orlando's chances of moving on, facing a Toronto team that is tough, definitely tough at home, but do you see this series going 7 games? Do you see Orlando getting out, or what are you looking at here?
I think that Orlando really, really has a good chance, and the thing that makes this whole situation, the scenario interesting, is the fact that two of the key players in Dwight Howard and Chris Bosh are some of the best of friends, and so this is like a pinnacle point in both of their lives where who's going to take and assume wherever they're supposed to be going next first. I mean, everybody's trying to strive and get to the next round. Tracy McGrady has been trying to ascend to the next level and discover new things about himself. And so that's what makes it interesting about me. It's really based upon those guys. I really know that Chris Bosh is a highly underrated player. He could step out, and he's given Dwight Howard 49, I believe, earlier this season. So I do think they take it personal, and it's really about who's growing up the most and who wants to take the step to the next level. So,
you know, Toronto,
looking
at their team, Toronto is a team that I think underachieved this year from my perspective, and I think that they were a team that really could do some some things in the playoffs. They are missing a player or two due to injury. But this was a tough matchup for Orlando, and it's hard to say who's going to get out. If Orlando gets out, they've grown up, and watch out for them. If Toronto gets out, that is showing their wherewithal, and I wouldn't want to be playing them if I was another team in the second round. But I think that I'm going to go with Orlando on this one. I think they're going to get past Toronto.
That's not a bad choice at all. And I can go with Orlando with that. I think that Hedo Turkoglu is flying under the radar, too, as far as star players and good personnel in the NBA league this year.
Now, our last matchup, obviously, is Cleveland versus Washington. There's been a lot of yip-yap going back and forth between these two teams. Cleveland got thumped as hard as anyone could get thumped, being up 2-0. You win by 30 in Game 2, you lose by 30 in Game 3. What are you seeing in the Cleveland-Washington matchup?
I think that the matchup would have been a lot more clear if Gilbert is nothing personal, wouldn't be around or wouldn't be involved, because once you put him back in the mix with the team that's competed and got to where they were together, they've established a new identity and relationships and continuity together that somehow gets ruined when you put somebody in the mix and they're, you know, he's a star player. But I just really think that it's based upon what type of moves that Eddie George is going to make with Gilbert, not sacrificing his injuries or any type of his future and at the same time, but realizing that his team got him to where he was based upon just the team alone.
No question. I mean, that's a good point, because team basketball is where it's at, especially when you're in the playoffs. You have to depend on all 12 guys on the roster to come in, because you never know, injuries, different things can happen. You double overtime, guys foul out, and guys need to step up. And Washington, you're right, has solidified themselves as a team with or without Gilbert. Gilbert obviously being healthy. Adds a whole different dimension, but if he's not healthy, you really don't know what you're going to get, and maybe guys are standing around looking when they've used to been playing over these last few months. So that is that's going to be up in the air, but I really see Cleveland coming back, winning this series. I don't know that they get past the next series, but initially I said Washington was going to upset Cleveland, but I think you're right. With Gilbert, it adds a little something that might make the team uneasy, and I think Cleveland's going to get by him.
And again, don't forget that LeBron James is a beast.
No question about that. A monster, my wife said. Now, last week, Wizzle, we didn't get to do our fantasy final, but I'm going to give you, because this week I had Phoenix and Detroit, but there's absolutely no way it looks like Phoenix is going to make it to the final. So we are going to substitute, and we're going to go old school. San Antonio and Detroit. That was, I believe, 2003 matchup, 2004 matchup. Just, I mean, if we see San Antonio and Detroit in the finals, who's walking away with the belt?
You know what, it becomes interesting, and if Detroit, bless their team, can make it there, I really believe that they should go ahead and win, because in no way, shape, or fashion do I see them as a team contending or trying to establish themselves as one of the great teams this year. I can completely see, I'm sorry to change the scenario, Boston and the Celtics, and what we're looking at, not Boston, but San Antonio and the Celtics. And what we're looking at is two of the best defensive teams. And then you got star players, and you got big matchups, a lot of flops, and a lot of tough calls. And I think that's maybe potentially what we could be looking at. I don't know. We'll wait to see.
Who you got in that one?
Woo! That's a toss-up.
Come on, Wizzle. Give it to us.
I got to go to the best coach, and I got to go to Pop, because he's got Manalo.
Manalo, Wizzle, always good. Thank you very much for joining us with all the input on West Coast, East Coast. Everybody, stay tuned next week for our old school matchup, Fantasy Basketball Finals with the Wizzle.
Thank you. Enjoy a smoothie.
And on that note, we're going to move right on in. We're going to go right into Fashion and Lifestyle.
Ooh.
What? Before we go into Fashion and Lifestyle, I want to let you guys know that we need to have you go to infinitelovefoundation.com and get information on the epidemic that's going around which is called HIV and AIDS. In Washington, D.C., the statistics is alarmingly high. So please go there, get more information, or go to your local CDC and get information there. But definitely understand and know that we fight this cause. We are here. We are trying to bring awareness to it. And every week our show is dedicated to, you know, the betterment of people's knowledge about it and education of HIV and AIDS awareness. So I wanted to make sure I covered that and let you guys know you can go there. You can email us at this email address, or you can go to our other email addresses at our MySpace, but you can go to JackieChristie.com or sales@JackieChristie.com, or you can go to DougChristie.com. There's so many different ways to reach out to us and talk to us, ask us questions, and wherever we can help, we will. So I just wanted to share that with you, and then we'll take like a 10-minute pause before we go, 10-second pause, excuse me, everybody, before we go into our next segment, which would lead us right into fashion. And give me a second. And guess what, everybody? I could listen to that music all day long, but we're going to go right into fashion. And I would say that one of my picks for this spring and coming into summer is scarves. Fashionably worn, ladies, you can really make a statement. And I like to wear mine in the belt loops of my jeans. I haven't done that in quite a while, but I'm going to do that. That's a special treat for my husband. You know, pink ones and polka dot ones. You can wear designer ones or not designer ones. And, Frank, in fact, I, you know, love to shop at Target. They have great scarves every year. They're in the range of probably $9 to $18. They're silk, and they're beautiful. They add fun and excitement. I'm a person that loves clowns a lot because I think clowns represent true happiness, and they always have a smile. Sometimes they're sad clowns, but you can still find the beauty and the fun in them. So I just have a love clowns, and I think scarves make me feel happy and excited as well. So I think that that's a good pick for this summer. Even if you're into more casual clothing like I am, you can still put a scarf on and jazz it up, and it just adds that special touch. No, what would you say, honey?
No question, babe. One of the reasons I love scarves the most is because I've watched you from you wearing them on your head, around your neck, around your waist, it doesn't matter. Scarf is something that adds color, dimension to an outfit. I love it. It's the epitome of style, I think, for you. And it's something that you can, clamp it together. You can tie it off. You can do so many different things, and it's versatile. So, yes, definitely one of my favorites for my wives are scarves.
Thank you, honey. And then we'll move right into number two. Our tip is bathing suits. And they're not just for women. They're also for men, but they wouldn't be called a bathing suit for men. They'd be called swimming trunks. And you can get great ones anywhere. I'd say one of my tips would be go to Old Navy. They have awesome ones. And they're anywhere in the range of $5.99 to $15.99. You go in there and you spend $50 and you got three or four pair. You're set for the summer if you're a guy, because you don't need the top to it. Women, bathing suits, you can get them at Nordstrom's Rack. You can get them at Marshall's. I'd probably say if you want to be economically safe, you want to go to a TJ Maxx, Marshall's, or Target and get them. They're gorgeous. You can get solid colors, polka dot ones, stripe ones, whatever pretty much you want, because let's face it, a bathing suit doesn't have to cost $300 to look good. If you're not in shape, so what? This is us. It's our bodies. We can do what we want. The water doesn't care. It doesn't discriminate. Enjoy yourself. And also, I would say for slimming looks, because a lady emailed me the other day and asked if she's a little hard, heavier than she wants to be because she just had a baby and she wants to go on a vacation with her husband. She wants to know what would make her look slimmer. I would recommend a solid color bathing suit in a dark color. Doesn't matter the fabric, maybe a black would be really fitting, and let it be the whole bathing suit, not the bikini style, but the whole bathing suit that covers your midsection, and that is really slimmy. Make sure that on the sides, it is a high cut on the sides, so it gives you a longer leg look. If you get the kind that goes kind of down around you like shorts, you're going to look thicker. So that would be my recommendation for ladies out there that might have that same question. I myself have that question, so I kind of know because I've experienced it. And then we'll move right along into hair. And hair, because we got 11 minutes left and we still have our love and romance section, but hair, you really want to, I think braids are in style now, honey. What would you say about that?
No question. I mean, for men, obviously, you know, if you're losing it and you want to go bald, that's a great look. But braids are big, especially for men and women nowadays, and it's something that is easily taken care of. The only problem with braids is when you have to take them out.
Those are the little braids, though.
Yeah, but even so, taking our son has braids, and we take them out, and he has hair all over the place, and that's how he likes it. He just wants to go free with it. But braids are something that is definitely an easy look, and if you want to keep them nice, you put a scarf on, like my wife said earlier in our first fashion tip, because that's going to keep it nice. Also, what type of pillowcase, babe? Tell them about that.
You got to use a satin pillowcase. I'm so glad my husband said that. See what I mean? It's yin and yang, you guys. He is right. If you do not wear or use a satin pillowcase at night, it will dry your hair, especially African-American hair. It will dry it out and make it even more coarse. So you definitely want to use a satin pillowcase. You can get them pretty much at any hair supply place usually, or at like Fred Meyer's or Target. They all sell them, any bedding department, at a Macy's or anywhere. They're not expensive, but try it, you guys. I know you're out there listening. Try the satin pillowcase and call us in a week or email us in a week or something and tell us the difference that you find with your hair. And it also keeps styles fresh. It makes them last longer. They don't fall out, and then all of a sudden you don't have the look anymore and have to go back to the salon and spend $50 to $100 to get that look again. It will help sustain the style. And something else, honey, that's really popular in coming back in style is the short crop look for girls. And that's one of the looks you love on me. What do you think about that?
Oh, no question. That's one of my favorites, because with the short crop look, you can wrap it. You can do a lot of different things with your hair. Even though it's short, it's just a cute style, especially if you got a cute face like my wife has. It really chisels you out, and it makes your face more prominent in your style than when you have a lot of hair. It kind of hides your face a little bit. You got short hair, it's going to bring it out. Obviously, your neck and all those different things that men really like are more prevalent, and you put a little smell good on there, and all of a sudden he comes up and he's kissing you on your neck.
Yep, and we'll move right along because it's time to go into the love and romance section. Thank you, honey, for that. And everybody, by the way, for the last, say, 3 months, I have been wearing ponytails every day. I get up and put in a ponytail, and I'm so tired of that, so I will be going back to the short crop look, I think, in 2009. And moving into love and romance.
Hey.
You like that?
Oh, that's hot right there.
Let's listen for a minute, everybody. Let's just kind of groove with it.
What?
Okay, enough of that, everybody. We'll jump right on in. Somebody wrote us and asked, how do you deal with jealousy? And the reason that this is big for me to comment on first is because I have been labeled a jealous monster in the industry of basketball because they think that I'm jealous. And the sad thing is, no, I love my husband. I respect my husband. And I am truly blessed to have him as my mate and life partner and best friend and child's father. And I think it's misconstrued a lot in relationships if someone doesn't want their mate acting a certain way or doing a certain thing. And I think that that's a universal need and want. I think men and women feel the same way, but it's played up when a woman feels a certain way. So I wanted to say that jealousy is something that any and everyone can deal with, and hopefully you don't actually feel that way. You just feel that you love and cherish and value your marriage or relationship. So that title, I think, is overrated, and anybody out there, if you feel that you are looked at in that way or you feel that that might be the way that you're acting, don't worry about it. You just care about your mate. And I'll let my husband comment.
No question, baby. And that takes us into number two, and that's fear of losing your mate. And
that's,
I think,
right,
they go hand in hand, actually, because fear is what jealousy is all about. I mean, if you're afraid of losing your mate, you're going to be jealous because you're thinking about them doing this or that or going here or there. But the biggest thing is that we have to learn how to be comfortable with ourselves and respect ourselves. And once we do that, your mate is going to be whoever they are. Obviously, you're going to have to support them. You're going to have to love them, and they're going to have to reciprocate that. But the fear of losing your mate isn't something that is a necessity for you to deal with. Sometimes you're going to have it. Let's face it, jealousy and fear are things that we deal with all the time. But like my wife said, they are definitely something that can be dealt with. And this might be something that you talk to your mate about. You go to them and say, you know, I'm really, whatever it is, I'm in fear of losing you. I think this or that. And the conversation, those are the things that are going to build the foundation for both of you to build on. And the fear of losing your mate, the jealousy, those different things that come with that fear will ultimately will go away. But it's something that you're going to have to take, and you're going to have to take a more proactive approach to it and make sure that both of you guys are communicating and talking.
That's right. I couldn't have said it better. And we'll move right along into setting a good example for your children. And when we say that to people, when they ask us, like this question has come up, is how do you do that? It's the way we live our life. It's how I would want my child to respect and love and treat their mate and put them first. And sometimes, I mean, in any relationship, you'll have your ups and downs, you'll have your misunderstandings, you'll have your arguments and things like that, but it all boils down to what's at the end of the day. Do you still love your mate? Are you being respectful? Did it just get a little out of hand? Did you guys control your tempers? Were you able to talk about it 15, 20, 30 minutes later and move past it? Or are you building and holding resentment? That's what your child will learn. What you do is what they're going to mimic when they grow up. So if you want them in a hostile environment, hostile relationship, hostile marriage or whatever it may be, then if you act that way, you can best believe they're going to mimic you because their parents is the first, and, you know, that's what they see, and that's who they want to grow up to emulate and be like. So always, you know, set a good example by showing them that even if a misunderstanding does occur, talking about it, working through it together, either as a couple or as a family, is the way to go, and that will set the good example for your kids.
No question, baby. And a lot of the times people don't think that their kids are watching or they're not listening. And believe me, they are, because they're little sponges. And whatever it is that you're doing, your child loves you more than anything. So they're going to imitate, emulate, copy, whatever you want to say, however you want to say it, they are going to do what you do. A lot of children might not be strong enough that if their parent is doing something to go the other way and do their own thing because they want to be like mommy or daddy. So just make sure that we're trying to set a good example for the next generation.
That's right. My husband said it. There it is. And then the last one is building trust. And as we were asked by a few of our listeners to elaborate on this one, their trust has been broken, but they still love their mate and they want to make it work. What should they do? And I would just suggest, if that is the relationship you feel you want to stay in, get counseling. You're going to need counseling, because some days you're going to have good days. Some days you're probably going to have bad days. And you're going to think about and wonder and feel bad and blame yourself and all those different negative feelings that could come in. There's trained individuals out there that can help you. And if you're financially strapped, you can always get, you know, public help. And they will send you to someone you can talk to, because nothing in the world is worse than not being able to vibe with someone and share your feelings and be able to trust that person enough to tell them how you're feeling. If you have friends, usually you want to look good in their eyes, so you're going to hold all that in that you've been betrayed by your mate, so you don't tell them, and maybe you become, you know, inclusive and start being by yourself. Well, if you're able to talk to someone, it will help you get past all of those emotions, and if you really want to work it out, they can help you guys to try and rebuild whatever that trust is. So don't feel bad that you want to stay with your mate. There's a lot of people in relationships nowadays that maybe other people would have said you should have left, but they stayed. And you can always salvage something now. Violence and stuff is different, but as far as someone breaking your trust, if that's what you want, you got to get some personal counseling to help you get past it.
No question. I look at breaking trust as a big thing, because that is the foundation of a relationship, is the fact that you can trust each other, you know that you're on the same page, you have the same goals, and you're trying to go in the same direction. Maybe you don't have the same goals. Maybe my goals are a little bit different, but they're always trying to move straight ahead and try to further and better ourselves. And all of a sudden, when that trust is broken, now you feel like you're out on an island all by yourself. And I really think that communication in that sense is going to be the biggest and the only way to gain that trust back. And once it's broken, believe me that you're going to have to take time to build that trust back up. And you're going to have to show, you're going to have to sacrifice on both fronts, not just the person that broke it, but also the person who has been betrayed, because now they're going to have some semblance of a trust again to allow the person that broke it back in to build that trust back up. So it's a delicate balance, but it's something that definitely can be done. And if you're in a relationship and you're positive that it's worth keeping, believe me, then it probably is. And you should figure out a way to make it happen, because everybody makes mistakes, but not everybody makes up. And that's big. Making up is a big thing.
That's right. And today we shared with you the seven wonders of the world and love and romance and how the two are definitely linked. And we hope you enjoyed our show. We thank you again for tuning in and coming with us and the support you guys show us. And until next time, thank you. We'll see you next time, same place, same time. Goodbye, our friends.
Respect.
Dedicate this song to little Junior Parker.